The following is a presentation of VBR. Welcome, and thank you for joining us in our study of God's Holy Word.
Hello, and welcome to our study of the book of Galatians. In this study, we're going to place the book of Galatians in its proper context by answering three very basic questions. To whom was Galatians written? When was Galatians written? And finally, what is the message of Galatians? One of the challenges we face is determining whether Paul's audience was Galatian in either a geographical or political sense. Like Romans, Paul wrote this epistle to a group of congregations. He addresses the letter to the churches of Galatia. Clearly, Paul had in mind a specific region and its group of congregations. However, in the first century, Galatia was both a geographical region as well as a Roman province. The name Galatia comes from the Greek equivalent for Gaul, a Celtic tribe. In 278 BC, a large body of migrating Gauls crossed over from Europe at the invitation of Nicodemus, king of Bithynia. They permanently settled in a region of Central Asia Minor and continued to be a distinct Gaulish race and stock. The Galatians did learn the Greek language. For instance, there are inscriptions at Ancyra, an ancient Galatian city, which are in Greek. However, they maintained their distinctive cultural nature. They were so distinct that Jerome leads us to believe that a Galatian and a Frenchman, who was also Gaulish in descent, could have conversed together with ease as late as the 4th century AD. By Paul's time, the descendants of those invading Gauls were largely aristocratic and clung stubbornly to their own Celtic religion long after the time of Paul. They spoke their own Celtic tongue. They were proud, even boastful and independent. They kept their native law under the empire. Conquered by Rome in 189 BC, the Galatians maintained their own monarchy until 25 BC, when King Amyntas bequeathed his kingdom to Rome and it was made a Roman province. At the time of King Amyntas' death, Galatia ruled over several adjacent countries. When Rome received the kingdom, it maintained that bureaucratic structure. As a Roman province, Galatia took in Paphlagonia and parts of Pontus, Phrygia, Pisidia, Lycaonia, and Isauria. So was Paul writing to the traditional country of the Gauls, later known as Galatia? Or was he writing to this later formed Roman province? I believe that Paul wrote to the province of Galatia, in which case we have a good historical account of his work recorded in the book of Acts. Luke refers to Galatia in terms of a geographical region as opposed to a Roman province. In his account, Luke kept the custom of the Greeks and Asiatic peoples and styled the province by enumerating its regions, choosing the geographic names as opposed to the political affiliations. For example, in chapter 13, verse number 14, he tells us that Paul and Barnabas visited Antioch in Pisidia. Later in chapter 14, verse number 6, Paul and Barnabas visited Derbe and Lystra, which Luke identifies as cities of Lycaonia. Though Luke refers to two of the three cities by their regional distinctions, they were a political part of the Roman province of Galatia. All of these regional distinctions, Lycaonia, Pisidia, etc., only appear in the book of Acts. Unlike Luke, Paul invariably uses the Roman province names such as Achaia, Asia, Macedonia, etc. For example, take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 16. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse number 1, Paul is reminding the Corinthians of his command to take up a collection on the first day of the week. And he tells the Corinthians that he has also given this command to the churches of Galatia. In verse number 5, Paul says that he is passing through Macedonia on his way to Corinth. In verse number 8, we learn that Paul was writing this letter from Ephesus. Ephesus was one of the chief cities of the Roman province of Asia. In verse 15, Paul says the household of Stephanas is the first fruits of Achaia, the Roman province where Corinth was located. In these three cases, in 1 Corinthians 16, Paul uses the Roman province names Macedonia, Asia, and Achaia. Therefore, I think it likely he did so with the Galatians as well. Based on Paul's typical usage of Roman provinces, I believe the churches of Galatia were those in the Roman province of Galatia. So Paul was writing this letter to the churches located in the Roman province of Galatia. All right, so we've talked about to whom the letter was written. Now let's talk about when the letter was written. When was Galatians written? There are three major events we need to keep in mind. In Acts chapters 13 and 14, Luke records Paul's first evangelistic journey, which took place probably somewhere around 47 to 48 AD. In Acts chapter 15, Luke records what is often called the Jerusalem Council, which we think took place somewhere around 49 AD. And then finally, in Acts chapter 16 through 18, Luke records Paul's second evangelistic journey, which we think took place around 49 to 52 AD. As far as I can tell, Paul first visited the Roman province of Galatia during that first evangelistic journey in Acts chapters 13 and 14. In those two chapters, Paul preaches the gospel to four significant cities: Antioch in Pisidia, Iconium, Derbe, and Lystra. In Antioch of Pisidia, Paul first preached in the synagogue, where he generated a great deal of interest among the Gentiles while exciting the jealousy of the Antiochian Jews. He received a similar response in Iconium and was forced to flee for his life to Lystra. The citizens of Lystra mistook Paul and Barnabas for Hermes and Zeus when Paul healed a man with lifelong paralysis. Jews from Antioch and Iconium pursued him to Lystra, stirred up the city against Paul, stoned him, and left him for dead. Miraculously, Paul did not die, and along with Barnabas, continued on to Derbe. From Derbe, Paul and Barnabas returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, encouraged the churches, and appointed elders to lead those congregations. This, I believe, represents the beginnings of the church in the Roman province of Galatia. The internal evidence from Galatians supports the idea that Paul was the first to preach the gospel in this province. In the opening verses of the book, Paul exhorts the brethren to compare the gospel taught by him with the false teachers who were affecting these congregations. In Galatians chapter 4, verse number 13, in the New American Standard Version, Paul says this: "But you know that it was because of bodily illness that I preached the gospel to you the first time." This seems to imply that Paul was the first to preach the gospel in Galatia. In chapter 4, verse number 19, Paul calls the Galatians, my little children, for whom I labor in birth again. A second rebirth into Christ was necessary because the Galatians had fallen into apostasy. As he says later in chapter 5, verse number 4, those who embrace this false teaching have fallen from grace. Notice the paternalistic tones of Paul's entreaty. He thinks of them as his children. He thinks of them as children he bore, that he brought into the kingdom of God. To me, the metaphor implies Paul was the first to preach Christ and establish these churches in Galatia. The internal evidence from Galatians corroborates Paul as the first man to preach the gospel of Christ in the Roman province of Galatia, in particular to Derbe, Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch. Following the first evangelistic journey, recorded in Acts chapters 13 and 14, we read about the so-called Jerusalem Council in Acts 15. Remember that Paul and Barnabas were Christ's chosen vessels to deliver the gospel to the Greek and Roman world. They were sent out to accomplish this purpose by the church of Antioch in Syria. Luke records in Acts chapter 13, verse number 2, as the prophets and teachers in Antioch ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Paul was Christ's ambassador to the Gentile world. As the Lord says to Ananias in Acts chapter 9, verse 15, go, for Paul is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. This is something that Paul affirms in the book of Galatians, chapter 2, verses 7 through 9. When he and Barnabas and Titus went back to Jerusalem, they were given the right hand of fellowship by Peter, James, and John. And the right hand of fellowship was given because those men acknowledged that Paul's sphere of influence, his sphere of preaching the gospel, was to the Gentile world and not to the Jews. Sent out by Antioch in Acts chapter 13, they returned to Antioch in Acts chapter 14. Luke records in Acts chapter 14, verses 26 through 28, from there they sailed to Antioch, where they had been commended to the grace of God for the work which they had completed. Now when they had come and gathered the church together, they reported all that God had done with them, and that he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. So they stayed there a long time with the disciples. This is the context in which we enter Acts chapter 15. It's after this first missionary journey that Paul and Barnabas first encounter what is often called the Judaizing doctrine. In Acts 15 and 1, Luke says, and certain men came down from Judea and taught the brethren, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. Notice the basic tenets of this doctrine. In verse number 1, these teachers insisted that all Gentile Christians, all male Gentile Christians, must be circumcised in order to be saved. In verse number 5, the doctrine expands to include the keeping of the law of Moses. This doctrine upheld the notion that no Gentile Christian could be saved unless he is circumcised and observes the law of Moses. As far as we know, this was the first major false teaching to affect the first century church. Antioch responds to this false teaching by dispatching Paul and Barnabas to Jerusalem to determine whether or not the elders and apostles were responsible for this teaching. The false teachers came from Judea. Therefore, it was possible they came to Antioch under the direction of the Jerusalem elders and apostles. Paul and Barnabas tracked the false teaching back to its source. They discovered the apostles and elders of Jerusalem were not responsible for this teaching. In fact, they disavow the doctrine completely. The doctrine originated, it appears, with Jewish Christians, former Pharisees who held on to the trappings of the old law. Paul refers to some of these events surrounding the Jerusalem Council in Galatians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. I tend to think that the letter to the Galatians followed the Jerusalem Council, but preceded the second evangelistic journey, which was just a few short years after Paul converted the citizens of Lystra, Derbe, Iconium, and Antioch to Christ. Upon his return to Antioch following the Jerusalem Council, in Acts chapter 15, verse 30, Luke tells us that Paul remained in Antioch for a time with Barnabas, Judas, and Silas, and for some days after Judas returned to Jerusalem, Acts 15, 36. It's also likely that Peter's visit to Antioch occurred during this time. We learn about Peter's visit in Galatians chapter 2, verse 11. It is also likely, in my judgment, that the letter to the Galatians was composed in the interlude between the Jerusalem Council and Paul's second missionary journey. So I see the letter to the Galatians written somewhere between Acts chapter 15, verse 30, and Acts chapter 15, verse 36. One statement from Galatians lends further credence to this interpretation. In chapter 1, verse number 6, Paul says, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel. This indicates their apostasy began soon after Paul preached the gospel. If the timing I suggest is accurate, this places the apostasy of the Galatian churches within 1 to 2 years of their conversion to Christ. The Galatians' rapid apostasy and Paul's letter urging them to return to Christ fits with his expressed desire to revisit the churches. In Acts 15:36, Luke tells us, then after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, let us now go back and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they are doing. After the disagreement over John Mark, Barnabas went to Cyprus while Paul and Silas went through Syria and Cilicia. In Acts 16, verses 1 through 3, Luke tells us that Paul and Silas arrive in the region where Timothy worked with the congregations of Derbe, Lystra, and Iconium. Luke says in verses 4 and 5, and as they went through the cities, they delivered to them the decrees to keep, which were determined by the apostles and elders at Jerusalem. So the churches were strengthened in the faith and increased in number daily. As we fit the book of Galatians within the timeline of Acts, it makes sense to me that the Jerusalem Council took place, that Paul returned to Antioch, that while he was in Antioch, he wrote the letter to the Galatians, and then he followed up with Silas in Acts chapter 16. That timeline fits with what we see both in Acts and Galatians. Revisiting the churches would have accomplished two very important objectives for Paul. Visiting the churches in person would allow him to witness firsthand the effects of his letter and to continue his plea should the letter have had little to no effect. His visit would also allow him to personally deliver the letter from the apostles and elders in Jerusalem, which he did in Acts chapter 16, verse number 4. The letter from Jerusalem would have further supported Paul's arguments in the book of Galatians. Revisiting the Galatians also fits with a more general pattern in Paul's work. When he knew a congregation was in danger of leaving the faith, he would check on them. When Paul feared for the faith of the Thessalonians, he dispatched Timothy to determine if persecution had broken up the church. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Having rebuked the Corinthians for their casual attitude toward immorality, Paul sent Timothy and Titus to follow up. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17, and 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13. He warned the Corinthians, should they not make the necessary corrections, he would visit them himself. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 20 and 21. So Paul, revisiting these churches in Galatia after he had written this letter urging them to return to Christ, is consistent with a broader pattern we see in his ministry. From here, Paul breaks into the region of Galatia. He moves from Antioch in Pisidia, Lycaonia, Iconium, Derbe, these regions, and he actually moves into the geographical region of Galatia in Acts 16 and 6. Now, when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. Notice the phrase, the region of Galatia, which is consistent with Luke's usage of regional as opposed to provincial names. In other words, this was the region that was conquered by the Gauls back in 278 BC. Based on what we know of Paul's journeys up to this point, this was his first incursion into the Galatian region. He returns to the region on his third evangelistic journey in Acts chapter 18, verse 23. After he had spent some time there, he departed and went over the region of Galatia and Phrygia in order, strengthening all the disciples. But in my judgment, Paul's visit to the region of Galatia falls too late in his ministry to be the sole audience for this book. So when was the book of Galatians written? Taking all of this into account, synchronizing the accounts of both Acts chapters 13 through 16, as well as Galatians chapters 1 and 2. Putting all this together, when was Galatians written? I believe it was written after the first evangelistic journey, after the Jerusalem Council, but before the second evangelistic journey. So in other words, between Acts chapters 15, verse 30 and 36. The rapid apostasy of the Galatians made both Paul's letter and his second visit necessary. All right, so we've answered to whom was the book of Galatians written and when was the book of Galatians written. The final question we'll answer, and we'll answer it very quickly: what is the message of the book of Galatians? The book of Galatians contains three major themes. Beginning in chapter 1, verse 1, and ending in chapter 2, verse number 10, Paul defends his apostleship. The second theme begins in chapter 2, verse 11, and ends, I believe, in chapter 4, verse 31. The second theme is justification is by faith in Jesus Christ and not by the works of the law. The third theme and final theme of the book of Galatians is in the last two chapters, chapters 5 and 6. In these two chapters, Paul warns against the extremes of legalism and antinomianism and encourages the brethren to remain steadfast. In those three themes, I think we can find three key verses, one key verse in each of the themes. In Galatians chapter 1, verses 11 and 12, Paul says, "But I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man, for I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ." Those two verses sum up Paul's defense of his apostleship. The second key passage contained in the second theme is Galatians chapter 2, verses 20 and 21. "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain." That is the key passage in the second theme. And finally, in chapter 5, verses 4 and 5, Paul warns the Galatian brethren, "You have become estranged from Christ. You who seek to be justified by law, you have fallen from grace. For we, through the Spirit, eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith." The book of Galatians addresses a prevalent false teaching, a false teaching that was having a real impact on these young congregations. It's that Judaizing doctrine. And in order to address it, Paul defends his apostleship. He makes it clear that justification is by faith in Jesus Christ and not by the works of the law. And then he warns the brethren about the dangerous, dangerous position they find themselves in should they depart from Christ. These are the themes of the book of Galatians. As we open up this book in the upcoming videos, you will notice that Galatians is a very compact book. Each major point is systematically supported by evidence of either a scriptural or logical nature. Paul tightly knits his argument together, leaving very little room for objection or need for clarification. I look forward to exploring this magnificent and convicting book with you, if God is willing.